The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Covenant Network invites you to join Patty Schneier as she and her guests talk about one of the greatest moments in our lives, when we discover our personal vocation from God, our pearl of great price. From that point on, nothing is the same. Our yes determines our unique pathway to holiness and how we will live for Christ here on earth. Join her to hear inspiring stories of discernment, response, perseverance, and joy. And now, here is Patty Schneier.
And welcome to another edition of The Pearl of Great Price, the show that celebrates the beauty of every vocation and the joy in living it out. My name is Patty Schneier. I'm your host here on Covenant Network, and I'm so excited about today. It's another first for The Pearl of Great Price. We have had some amazing guests and have had glimpses of incredible vocation stories over the past 2 years, but we have never had the founder of a religious community here in the studio. Today, we get to meet Father Placid Gust, the founder of the Society of Our Mother of Peace. But before we meet Father Placid and hear his story, I want to read a gospel story that I think is so appropriate for today's show. This is from Luke chapter 5. Now it happened that Jesus was standing one day by the lake of Gennesaret with the crowd pressing round him, listening to the word of God, when he caught sight of two boats at the water's edge. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon replied, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing, but at your command, I will lower the nets." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so that they were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus, saying, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him and all those with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. But Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." Then bringing their boats back to land, they left everything and followed him. This gospel reveals so much about Jesus. He meets us right where we are, doing what we normally do, and yet sometimes he asks us to do something totally unexpected, something that might not make sense to us, but to take a leap of faith, to try something new, to just do it and see what happens. The story of the Catholic Church is full of men and women who put out into deep waters and lowered their nets. Much to their own surprise, they began new communities to address a specific need, and others joined them in this work. They changed the world. St. Francis of Assisi founded the Franciscans. St. Bruno of Cologne founded the Carthusians. St. Ignatius of Loyola founded the Jesuits. St. John Bosco founded the Salesians. St. Teresa of Calcutta founded the Missionaries of Charity. St. Alphonsus Liguori founded the Redemptorists. St. Dominic founded the Dominicans. St. Angela Merici founded the Ursulines. St. Jane Frances de Chantal founded the Congregation of the Visitation. There are countless more throughout history. They didn't know beforehand that they would be founding new orders. No, they just put out in the deep and did what Jesus prompted them to do. In our day, just to name a few, for a time such as this, Cardinal John O'Connor founded the Sisters of Life. Father Salvatore Scorza founded the Apostles of the Interior Life. And Father Placid Gust founded the Society of Our Mother of Peace. Father Placid Gust is amazing at 87 years young. He was born on October 5th, 1932, and hails from New Orleans, Louisiana. Antoine's, the famous French restaurant in New Orleans, has been in his family for over 175 years, originating with his great-grandfather who came to this country from France. Father Placid is the youngest of four boys. Two of his brothers were lawyers, the oldest of which was Attorney General for the state of Louisiana for 20 years. He also has a brother who was a priest for 60 years. Looking for a life of solitary prayer, Father Placid entered the Carthusians at age 21, but discerned out shortly thereafter and studied theology for 2 years at a diocesan seminary before entering the Carmelites. Father Placid was a professed Carmelite for 9 years when he received permission to develop a new community on June 19, 1966. Thus, the Society of Our Mother of Peace was born. Father Placid is the founding father of this religious community, and for 53 years, he has witnessed growth here in the United States and across the globe in the Philippines and Nigeria. Well, welcome, Father Placid, to the Pearl of Great Price. It's such an honor for us to have you on the show today.
Thank you.
All right. Well, let's start at the beginning. What were some of the early seeds of your vocation? Okay, did you always want to be a priest?
Obviously, my Catholic family contributed primarily to my vocation. Father and mother were daily communicants and radiated their Catholicism to my older brothers who were lawyers, and they and their wives became daily communicants. The brother closest to me, my brother Bobby, was perhaps the first specific element that fostered my vocation in the sense that when I made my first communion, he told me, "The best thing you could do, Jules, was to receive the Eucharist every day."
Wow.
And by the mercy of God, I have been able to do that.
Wow. But it's so beautiful that a brother would say that to his younger brother.
Yes, and he was a wonderful brother all the way through. Secondly, in our elementary school, Catholic school, run by the Dominican sisters, there was Sessions of the Cross during Lent every Friday. And during those stations, I experienced that this degree of love of Jesus was something that I had to somehow make up for or reciprocate. And that stayed with me ongoingly.
I love that. It's when we receive love, we realize we must do something with this love, right?
Absolutely.
That's beautiful. Well, what experiences impacted you or prompted you to form a new community? So what need maybe did you see in the church that you wanted to address or responding again to Jesus' love?
Well, the basic experience that I had was that in due time, God was calling me to spend much time in solitary prayer.
Mm.
Not so much vocal prayer, but solitary prayer. And to do apostolic work of the sort of helping persons deepen in their spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
With that, living in a context of solid simplicity or poverty.
Yes.
These three elements, the contemplative dimension, the apostolic, and the poverty, were characteristic of the charism of this community. Now, I sought to find those characteristics in other communities because I was very young, but I could not find them. Now, one of the pieces of advice that my brother also gave me was to seek out, as I entered the seminary, a good spiritual director. Well, I found that, but ultimately, Father Thomas Dubay was my director.
Oh, and I've read his book, The Fire Within.
Exactly.
Yes.
Now, Father Dubay analyzed with me the whole question of what had been advised in my earlier direction, and it was always indicated that I could live a more mortified life and prayerful life as a diocesan priest. So he told me that he didn't really think that was authentic and that it would be good for me to spend a little time going to my room and just thinking how it would be if I spent 6 weeks in a rectory during the summertime. I went to my room, and with 1/2 hour, I was able to say to myself with complete conviction, I am not called to be a diocesan priest.
Okay, you knew.
There's something else very clear. Now, again, I sought to think about what other communities would possibly be identifiable with these ingredients that I spoke of, and could not find them. But ultimately, Father Dubé and I agreed that at least the primary element of my vocation, the solitary prayer time, could be found in the Carthusians. Now, I entered the Carthusians at 21 and was there for 9 months, but found that their focus was more towards solitude and vocal prayer rather than solitary prayer. And so in due time, I realized that that was not the answer yet. Mm-hmm. So I returned to the seminary and did 2 years of philosophy, and then began to realize that I still needed to pursue this call, these three elements. So with that in mind, I went back to Father Dubé and expressed to him that still in the Carmelites, I had not sufficiently found what I felt God was calling me to. So he said that he really thought that I should be thinking about another community that was not in existence, founding a community, because I had been thinking about this for so long a time and had not found the fulfillment of it. Mm. So I approached my provincial. By this time, I was a Carmelite for 9 years. Approached my provincial, and he gave me a year in which he said I could pursue a bishop who would take interest and be willing to accept such a community into his diocese.
Well, that was going to be my next question, actually, because I know you can't found a community by yourself. There has to be approval and things like that. So along the way, who were some of the people that helped you or obstacles that you faced as you began thinking about this?
All right. Well, the first thing was that I approached
a bishop
Victor
and get
Reed
approval.
Of
okay.
Oklahoma City. And then I approached two other bishops and also a cardinal. Now, all of these men were open, but they said that they needed to consult their board of consultors, priest board of consultors, to make a decision, and this would probably take a bit of time. Bishop Reed, in turn, indicated that...
And where was he, in Tulsa?
He was in Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City, okay.
Yes. And he, in turn, indicated that I should come back to see him after the last session of the Second Vatican Council, which was approximate. So I did, and before going to see him, I went to St. Joseph's Church, which was close to the chancery, and prayed before the statue of St. Joseph that if this would be of service to the church, that he would please help me to be able to begin a community.
And I bet God answered that prayer.
So Bishop Reed, in turn, made available 80 acres of diocesan land for our use.
Wow.
And it was really suitable. So he also indicated that if the community grew during that period of time, then he would be interested in establishing it on a more canonical basis than just the permission to do it.
That's a good question. How many people were interested? Was it just you at this point, or was there somebody else that was also interested?
No, there was no one else.
Okay.
And nevertheless, before I found a male candidate, a sister somehow found out what I was pursuing. And she visited with me and became very interested. She was a precious blood sister and became very interested in the contemplative dimension of this life and the other ingredients.
So did this sister join you, and then did you initiate a female branch to the community?
Sister Elizabeth Dederman spoke to me, and in turn, there were two other sisters that I had contact with that became very interested also. So these three sisters were the beginning of the sisters' branch of the Society of Our Mother of Peace.
Wonderful. Now, what is the mission of the Society of Our Mother of Peace?
All right.
So what do you do, and how do you live?
All right. The Society, interested in solitary prayer, is so organized that every member lives in a separate hermitage 100 feet apart. Very, very simple building with just the necessities of life. But
and those are called solitudes, right?
The solitude indicates the whole property.
Oh, okay.
See? So there would be one section for the brothers and priests and one section of the property separate for the sisters. But they're living the identical same life. Mass is in common, and three parts of the office are in common. Now, the elements that first we exercised, since we had sisters in the community, was the work of evangelization. So I had had experience in that as a Carmelite, and a good number of people had come into the faith. So the sisters would go door to door in a given parish in which we had the pastor's permission and seek to open the minds, but basically the hearts, of the persons who live there to the Catholic faith and to answer any questions that they might have about the Catholic faith.
So that is your apostolic work, the door-to-door evangelization?
Exactly.
Beautiful.
Whereas the work of the priests especially would be that of spiritual direction and helping people deepen spiritually.
Okay.
Though in some way the whole community shares in that work,
sure.
But primarily the priests.
How many hours a day of solitary prayer do your brothers, priests, and sisters have each day?
6 hours a day are set aside for solitary prayer.
Wow.
Now that's 2 hours early in the morning before the Eucharist, 2 hours after the apostolic work, in the afternoon and an hour and a half at night, but our masses are usually extended more than 45 minutes, so that completes the 6 hours.
That's beautiful.
And we have, of course, approximately 6 hours set aside for apostolic work every day.
I got to meet one of your sisters doing the apostolic work, which was so wonderful, and she was a guest here on our show. So the door-to-door evangelization, I got to see firsthand when I was at St. Augustine Parish in North St. Louis.
Good.
Going door-to-door. So it's just a beautiful, beautiful apostolate. How many sons and daughters of the Society of Our Mother of Peace are there in your community now?
Okay, at present there are approximately 50, and we have 5 what we call solitudes, because each person lives separately, as I indicated. So there's 2 in the United States, 1 in the Philippines, and 2 in Nigeria.
How did you get into the Philippines and Nigeria?
Okay, we had a candidate to our life from the Philippines, a sister, and after her perpetual profession, because we were not doing all that well vocation-wise in the United States, we thought of expanding to the Philippines.
Mm.
And that's how we began there.
And do they have the same life? They live in solitude there in the Philippines and Nigeria?
Precisely.
Similar to right here in the United States?
Precisely as in the United States. It's
beautiful.
Identical.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Now, at the same time, a priest from Nigeria made a retreat with us close to St. Louis, and he noticed that we could use help with vocation. So he suggested very strongly that we think of going to Nigeria. Now, we didn't feel ready to do that, so we thought, well, we could certainly take a trip there and gain some experience. We did that. This was Father John and I, who is the present Major Superior. And in that trip, when it came time to visit with people who showed interest. In the place where we were to meet those interested, 150 showed up.
Wow. Wow.
Now, 50 of them felt, because we wore blue habits, that they were interested in white soutanes. So that meant that they were really interested in the priesthood and not religious life. However, we interviewed with a few other priests of Nigeria, 100 men.
Wow.
And out of that 100, in a second interview, we accepted 26.
Beautiful.
Now, this was the beginning of our work in Nigeria.
That's wonderful. So you are in the Philippines, Nigeria, and then here in the United States, and in our Archdiocese of St. Louis out in High Ridge, which is fantastic. Well, what have been some of your greatest joys during the past 53 years of this new community, Father? How has God surprised you in that time?
Well, I can't say that God really surprised me, because I expected him to help me.
And he did.
And he certainly did. And one of the most remarkable things, I feel almost miraculous, that I have done very, very little to raise funds for this community. And nevertheless, we have approximately 50 members in the community now, and 5 separate solitudes completely built.
That's beautiful.
God's at work.
That is a miracle, isn't it? It is. It's just to see how God provides.
Absolutely.
And again, you know, it's confirmation and consolation that he wants this to flourish, because he makes everything happen.
Yes. And I think the ingredients of the community really are so gospel-oriented that he will protect his community. The concept of prayer, solitary prayer. Jesus always prayed in solitude. The concept of the evangelization of those persons that are not having the fullness of faith in the Catholic Church, and those who have slipped from practice. And finally, the stress on poverty. Jesus is so strong on the whole question of poverty that we feel that ingredient is essential to this community.
That's so wonderful.
I want people to know that if they're thinking of this type of life, that it is a sacrificial form of life. So you have to experience that God is giving you a call to be generous with him.
If there's somebody that, you know, has this nudging in their heart, and they're looking, too, for this solitary type of prayer, this lifestyle, how can they contact you?
All right. Our email address is smpvocations@gmail.com. And my phone number is 636-376-5105. I can be contacted in the evening as the best time, between 7:30 and 9 o'clock.
Okay, wonderful. Well, Father, we are almost out of time, but we conclude. I want to thank you so much, first of all, for sharing your story and about the community of the Society of Our Mother of Peace.
Thank you.
And we conclude every show praying for vocations. And I'm going to pray this prayer. And when I'm finished, we pray along with our listeners. Would you give us your priestly blessing?
Yes, yes.
Okay. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
God our Father, bless your church with an abundance of priests, deacons, brothers, and sisters. Give those you have called to marriage and those you have chosen to live as single persons in the world the special graces that their lives need. Form all of us into the likeness of your Son, so that in him, with him, and through him, we may love you more deeply and serve you more faithfully. And Father, help me to know and to live my vocation. With Mary, I ask this through Jesus our Lord. Amen.
May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you, remain with you, and keep you in God's holy presence in Mary's heart.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father Placid Gus, the founding father of the Society of Our Mother of Peace. Thank you for being our guest today on The Pearl of Great Price.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
All right, join us next time for The Pearl of Great Price. Until then, go to pattyschneier.com to listen to previously recorded broadcasts. Click on the radio show tab and share the link with family and friends. This is Patty Schneier reminding you to seek the will of God in all things and strive for holiness.